I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Abuobiso will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Amen. Right, please, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for tonight, and we ask for your presence and blessing to be with us. We pray for the help of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, and I want to share with you tonight. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, as we go through the month of evangelism, one of the things we're going to have to do is to be able to is to have to mix truth with grace in order to be able to get people to follow us into the Lord. Amen. And so tonight I'm going to share with you how Jesus mixed truth with grace. Amen. Now, what does it mean to mix truth with grace? To mix truth with grace simply means to know the facts, do you see? But to be able to have grace, you know, or combine grace with the facts in order to relate with or deal with the person or whoever it is that God has led us to. Amen. John chapter 1 and verse 14. John chapter 1 and verse 14. The Bible says, and the Word was made flesh. John 1 and verse 14. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. What this verse simply means is that, you know, you remember John 1:1, it says, in the beginning of was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, isn't it? So verse 14 says, the Word became flesh, means when God manifested himself in the form of a human being. That's God took on the form of a human being and lived with us. Amen. When did God take on the form of a human being and live with us? That was when God came to us in the form of Jesus Christ. Do you see? So he says, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So what he's saying is that the beautiful thing about Jesus was his ability to mix grace with truth in dealing with people. And that earned him a great following. Amen. Sometimes people are not able to follow us or to be with us because of our inability to mix grace with the truth. Are you getting what I'm saying? Sometimes we're so disgusted by what we know about people or what we see about people that we're in too much of a hurry, you know, to point out those things, to strip them of those things, for God to change them fast. Express change. Do you see that sometimes the pace is too much for the people? And someone who could otherwise become a good, solid Christian with some patience, and a good, solid member of the church with some tolerance, with some acceptance, not an acceptance or a condoning of their sin or of whatever is not so right with them, but an ability to know the truth, but to combine it with grace to be able to accommodate the person until God accomplishes his work in their lives. Hallelujah. Truth is a fact. And sometimes when truth stands alone, when facts stand alone, they are hard to accept. You know, it is like eating a salad without a dressing. Do you get it? It's like truth is the salad, but we need a dressing. Do you see? Which sort of makes the salad easier to eat. Does it make sense? Yeah. So when someone has truth and they have no grace with the truth, it becomes like someone who has a salad and has no dressing. Do you get it? And it's dry. Well, some people may be able to eat it, but if you watch closely, you realize when the food is over, most of what will be remaining will be the salad. Isn't it? Yes, that's what will be left on the table, especially if they come from where I come from, you know, then they would be leaving it behind. Can I have an amen? So every one of us must learn how to mix truth with grace. Amen. Tell somebody you need to learn how to mix truth with grace. Amen. Now, I'm going to give you four examples of how to use truth and grace by following Jesus' example. Amen. So number one is that Jesus knew the truth about Judas, but he mixed it with grace. Right? Because Jesus knew who it was that would betray him. Do you remember that? Let me just show you. Wow. Okay. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 21. And as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." Can you see that? Yeah. Verse 22. "And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I?" Right? Next verse, 23. "And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me." Wow. Right? Verse 24. "And the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Right? Next verse. "Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said." Right? Verse 20, the next verse. Oh, that's it. Okay. So he says, "And they were eating, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body." Amen. "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink, ye all of it." Right? And then, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Next verse. "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Amen. Well, what I want to show you is how that Judas's betrayal of Christ was not a surprise to Jesus Christ. Amen. That Jesus knew a long time before Judas even attempted to betray him, you know, what sort of person he was and what he was going to do. So he knew the truth completely about Judas, and even knew who was going to betray him. And when he announced it at the table, everybody was sorrowful and they were sad. It's like, this beautiful fellowship, how can someone spoil it? You know? And yet Jesus said, one of you is going to do it. So they all started asking, "Lord, is it I?" He kept quiet. "Lord, is it I?" He kept quiet. Then he explained, he said, "This guy who eats with me from the same plate, that is the person who would betray me." You know, I'm sure if you were at that table, you'd probably avoid eating from the same plate with Jesus. Do you see? So Judas also comes to ask Christ, "So, Lord, is it me? Am I the one going to betray you?" Then Jesus said, "Well, you are saying it. I haven't said anything. I haven't said it's you, but you have spoken." Wow. Do you get it? Now, Jesus could have moved in on him at that point. Can you imagine what Peter and Co. would have done to Judas? Do you get it? Because from the way they behaved when some people showed up to arrest Jesus Christ, you know, we know what Peter is capable of doing. Do you get it? He took somebody's sword and cut the person's own ear with his sword. I don't know what he did with the sword after. You give it back to the person. You see, but Jesus knew a lot of things, but he didn't find it necessary to rock the system or to come out and point out to everybody that this is the devil right here. who is going to spoil everything. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So he knew the truth about Judas squarely. You know, nothing Judas was doing was a surprise to Jesus Christ at all. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Nothing Judas was doing was a surprise to Jesus Christ. But Jesus never announced it. He never told the people that this guy. He said, and I believe the way he must have said, because people must have seen Judas dipping his food in, or eating from the same plate as Jesus Christ. Do you get it? But the atmosphere was probably such that it did not immediately single Judas out as this is the thing Jesus was talking about. Made everybody relax. Made everybody calm. I mean, you know a very deadly thing about someone which is going to be so dangerous, it's going to destroy everything. But he just relaxes as though he doesn't know it. And is just relating with the person with grace as though he doesn't know what the person is capable of doing. Can I have an amen? Amen. Are you understanding that example? So Jesus mixed truth with grace when he dealt with Judas. Amen. Number two. So I'm going to give you four, isn't it? Number two. Jesus knew the truth about Peter, but he mixed it with grace. Jesus knew the truth about Peter, but he just decided, you know, let me just be cool and relate with Peter. Amen. See, what you're going to find is that in our ministry of reconciliation, which we have in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Let's read 2 Corinthians 5, 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I think we read this verse on Sunday. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, right? Behold, all things are become new. Amen. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. So God has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. He's done it, and then he has given us that job to do. So he set the example of how it is done. Does it make sense? Yeah. By doing it himself and then giving us the ministry of reconciliation so we can also go and do it. Amen. Then in the next verse, 19, it shows us how it is done. It says, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Do you understand? And has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So God has not only given us the job of reconciling the world to himself, but he has shown us how it is done. That we don't reconcile people to God by imputing their sins and their trespasses. You get it? And making them extra conscious of the fact that they are sinners. Do you see what I'm saying? And pointing out their faults and their sins. You know, you can't evangelize someone by starting with their cigarette. Do you see what I'm saying? We don't evangelize people by beginning with their bottle of beer. You see, he says, God has given us the work of reconciliation. And he was in the world reconciling the world to himself. Do you see? Yeah, go back to 18. It says in verse 18, all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself. So he's done it successfully.
Wow.
You get it? God has been successful at reconciling us to himself. And has given us the work of reconciling people to him. You see, but it would be unfortunate if God didn't show us how it is done. You see, God didn't show us how it is done. Then we would mess up. Because we would be going on trying or attempting to reconcile people unto God. And rather driving the people away from God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So he says God was in the world reconciling, you know, us unto himself. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation, verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Amen? Not imputing their trespasses unto them. And has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So God is showing us how we reconcile people unto him. Amen. How do we make people friends with God? And it's certainly not by pointing out their faults and pointing out their transgressions and being obsessed with their sins and obsessed with their drug habits, obsessed with their alcoholism, with their womanizing behavior, and all the different things that we church people are not used to. What do you think? Yeah. Or we church people have often come away from these things long time ago, that we have a very high sensitivity to them. Do you see? We are so highly sensitive to them that we just cannot deal with it. And the people in the days of Jesus, they had that problem. Even for Jesus to go by Zacchaeus' house, it was a problem. Remember last week, was it on Sunday? Yeah, we were talking about Zacchaeus. It was a problem. See, he's gone to eat in the house of a sinner. As though the food is the sin. It's like the sinner's food is cooked with sin. You get it? So you don't drink a sinner's water. You don't drink a sinner's juice. You don't eat sinner's rice. You get it? Sinner's rice, it makes you sinful. Get it? Sinner's barbecue. Because maybe he stole the pig. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the people couldn't handle it. They couldn't. Honestly, the whole time they were in the house of Zacchaeus, they were just talking. They were just, I can't believe they were somewhere watching Jesus. I'm sure Zacchaeus had laid out some table, you know, and there was some food and so on. And when Jesus picked one of the drumsticks, one of the guys said, you know, they brought the tray. When they brought the tray, of drumsticks. I mean, hot, sizzling, straight from the oven type of, you know, drumsticks. And they brought it. And as they were serving, you know, there was Peter, and then there was James, there was Andrew, there was Jesus Christ. As they were passing, then Peter, you know, another guy says, it's okay. It's like some of them were probably even fasting. You get it? So when they got to Jesus Christ, then he asked the guy, do you have a plate? Because he realized that the way it is, I have to offload a few. You get it? So it's not a take one, especially as Peter and co have skipped. There must be more. You know. So he just must have taken his time to offload the thing, to eat the thing. Then Peter and co must have looked and felt that no, then we made a mistake. But there were other people who were in the place, they wouldn't even, they could not stand it. How can Jesus eat in a sinner's house? Even to go and be a guest in his house is a problem. No, no, no. See, another time Jesus was at a party, and then a certain woman came, a notorious woman. Everybody knew her in town, and she came around. And the Bible says she had some ointment, very expensive, and she broke the ointment and began to anoint the feet of Jesus. And then she was weeping and washing his feet with her tears. And then she was wiping his feet with her hair. I mean, the people were just, as the woman was all over Jesus' feet, I mean, some of them felt like there were things crawling on their skin. It's like someone just poured a bag of crabs on you, live crabs. Or roaches, yeah. It's like, what is this? I mean, what kind of preacher is this preacher? Do you get it? Oh, Jesus was just there as though he didn't know that the woman was a sinner. He knew exactly who he was dealing with. See, we are talking about mixing the truth you know with grace. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding what I'm saying? The people could not deal with it. And again, they started to complain, you know, and they started to talk about it. That look at what he's doing. You know, look at that girl, you know, and the way she's standing so close to him. Oh, this is a problem. She's trying to pull him into the world. And make him backslide. She's tempting him. Are you understanding it? Another time, Jesus met another woman. And he had sent the disciples to go and buy food. When they came, he was standing with some woman. You see, they came back to meet him. They left him alone when they came. So they probably even thought the whole thing was a trick. That this buying of food was a trick. Especially because when they brought the food, he didn't eat it. See, when they said, okay, you said we should buy food, we brought the food, come and eat. Then he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. I mean, they must have gotten very, very, very highly suspicious. What type of connection is this?
My God.
Then they said, someone has brought him food to eat. You see, I mean, who is that someone? Who is the someone you came? Only one person was here. He said, someone has brought him food to eat. That for Jesus to be able to have time and have a conversation with a woman who was notorious, well, she herself told Jesus Christ her whole story. In fact, Jesus said that you don't have a husband. And she said, it's true. How do you know? Then the whole conversation started. You get it? Yeah. And she didn't deny any of the things. Jesus said, you've had five husbands and the one you're with now is not even yours. You see the thing? Yeah. And for someone who had that kind of a reputation to be right next with Jesus, you know, engaged in a conversation with Jesus Christ, you would think that he's condoning it. Because there are some people, unless you speak against what someone is doing, they assume that you agree with it. Does it make sense? Yeah. Unless you are always pointing fingers at people and always telling people what is wrong with them, their presumption is that then you are actually in league with them, or you are compromising, or that you're not a serious Christian. But that is not what it is. That's not how Jesus dealt with people. I can give you yet another example. Some people brought a woman that they had caught in live adulterous action. Yes. They use Facebook Live. Okay. Somebody was browsing Facebook and he saw it. Then he called the others, says, come check this out. You know, they took WhatsApp pictures and all that, Snapchat, and they started to share it around, right? Yeah. Somebody was periscoping the whole action. Then they remembered that Jesus was preaching just down the road. So they collected this woman and the man, you know, and the people were trying to dress up. The people said, no, you are obstructing justice. You're going to spoil the evidence. So they carried them like that and they brought them to Jesus. So Jesus was preaching, then suddenly some people were standing at the back. The people, you know, and then someone sent him a WhatsApp. said Jesus. Then the person picked the phone. Just sending you a message. It's urgent. So Jesus checks his WhatsApp, and then here's a message from one of the guys. It says, urgent. Extremely urgent. So what is the matter? He pauses the preaching, and he says, what is the matter? And then they say, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Look, Master, this is not hearsay. This is not our imaginations. We have screenshots. We have clear recordings. You know, yes. If you like, let's just go to YouTube right now, Pastor. It's right there. So then they are just wondering, what is Jesus going to do about this? You know, then look at the next verse. They start to prescribe to Jesus Christ what they are expecting him to do. And they say, says, now Moses in the law commanded us that such a person should be stoned. So what sayest thou? What do you say about this? This, they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. See, this is where grace is being applied to the facts and to the truth. Can you see that?
Yes.
As though he heard them. Can you stand to see something and act as though you saw it not? Can you know something about people and act as though you heard it not? Or you know it not. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah? Can you stand by someone who's smelling of alcohol and act as though you don't smell any alcohol? Can we talk about anything else apart from the alcohol? Or does the alcohol become your obsession such that you can't seem to get past it? It's like, unless we discuss this alcohol, there is no conversation about anything else. Can you understand this? Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah.
Mixing the truth with grace. It says, Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Verse 7 says, so when they continued asking him, because they were persistent, as they asked, what dost thou say? Then they kept asking, huh? They said, huh? Excuse me, Jesus. And he was writing, won't you say anything? Say something, Jesus. Law of Moses. Someone brought the book and chapter. You get it? So they continued asking him. Then he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin. They thought he was about to announce the beginning of the stoning. You know, then he said, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. Let him first cast a stone at her. So, yes, we're going to begin the stoning, but we're going to go in a certain order.
Hey, wow.
The one who has not done some before.
Wow.
One who hasn't sinned before. Let the person. So we're going to go in that order. The purest first. You get it? The purest first. You see, Yeah, then the really bad guys, they will get the last. By that time, the woman is dead. Those ones will be throwing stones at her dead body. But let's start with those who haven't done any sin. They must, you know. So verse 8 says, and again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. You get it? He continued to write on the ground because to him, there was no urgency. There was no urgency at all. He just continued to write. I don't know what Jesus was writing. Some people feel that he was writing their sins. He was writing what he knew about them. So when you see your sin on the... Let me just get out of this place. But whatever he was just writing stuff down there. And the Bible says he continued to write in verse 9 says, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, they went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, unto the last. You know, I told you it was purest first. So, even unto the last, that's the most recent convert. Right? And then Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. So you see that the person who had no sin at all, who had never committed any sin, he rather could tolerate the woman and be with her. The ones who were guilty themselves, they rather were the ones who could not stand her at all, you know, and could not wait to have her stoned and to have her destroyed. And sometimes you see the way we get vicious about other people's mistakes and other people's sins, as though we have never sinned before. Are you getting it? And so Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. Then the next verse. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those thine accusers? The guys who brought you here, what happened to them? Hath no man condemned thee? Then verse 11. She said, no man, Lord. They all called Uber and just left this place one by one. Right? And Jesus said unto her, then neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Hallelujah. Jesus was showing us an example. You know, that it is not that sin is not a serious thing. It is a serious thing. See, they didn't tell her, go and just reduce it. He said, you need to stop it. He said, you cannot continue to live like this. You get it? You need to stop it. If you don't stop doing this thing, it's going to kill you one day. You get it? Next time I might not be here. You get it? So please, just go and don't do this anymore. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. So if you want to know his true feelings, wow, his true feelings is that he would never see this woman in this situation ever again. But remember, he says the process of reconciliation is not imputing their trespasses on them. Hallelujah. He said that's how he did it. And he set it as an example for us. Can I have an amen? Does it make sense to you at all? Right? So, Jesus was showing us, he knew the truth about Peter. Okay? What truth did Jesus know about Peter? Number one, he knew that Peter was open to satanic and worldly influences. But he still worked with him. Jesus did not disconnect from Peter just because Peter used to have bouts of satanic and worldly influences. Do you understand? You see, Matthew 16 and 23 says, "But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men.'" Hallelujah. This is what Jesus is saying to Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. It's amazing that someone he has called Satan before, down the line, he's able to call him the leader of the church. What if Satan comes to visit him again? Can you see that? You never know what God can do with people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is why you must not write people off. You must not give up on people. Amen. Because they may look like they don't have it together, but you'll be surprised what Jesus will do with their lives. Can I have an amen? Right? So he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So he knew all of this about Peter, but he was still flowing. The second truth that Jesus knew about Peter was that Peter slept at prayer meetings. But Jesus was still flowing with Peter. Isn't it? Matthew 26 and verse 40, he says, "And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, 'What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour?'" You know? So he came to the disciples and he found them asleep. You get it? Then he spoke, he said unto Peter, probably because he was the leader. Or maybe when he saw Jesus coming, he quickly... You know, there's always that person who just wakes up. Yeah. And the person starts to shout very loudly. He doesn't know he's waking up because we're actually closing the prayer. Hallelujah. Is it making sense what I'm sharing with you? He findeth them asleep. He knew Peter would sleep at prayer meetings, but it wasn't a problem. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you understanding it? The third truth Jesus knew about Peter was that Peter would let him down. Peter would let him down, but he still worked with him. Hallelujah. John chapter 13 and verse 38 says, "Jesus answered him, 'Will thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice.'" Hey, Jesus knew things about people. He knew details. He knew that Peter was going to deny him. And he knew how many times that was going to occur. He even knew when it was going to happen. That this guy is going to deny me. He's going to deny me not once, not twice, 3 times. Hallelujah. But he said to him that you'll be okay. He'll be okay. In fact, there was a time when Jesus predicted. He told Peter, he said, "Satan has desired you that he may sift you like wheat." You know, he said, Satan has desired. Can you find me that verse? He says, "Satan has desired you that he will sift you like wheat." Do you see? Then after that, he said, "But when you are converted, strengthen your brethren." Wow. It's like, it's okay. It's some terrible times are going to come, but you overcome it. Amen. So I'm even speaking into your future. I can see your conversion. I can see you overcoming that problem. So I'm actually discussing your future. Even though the temptation to make you fall has not even come yet. Can you see that? Look at it. It says, "The Lord said, 'Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat.'" You know? Then he said, verse 32, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So if only we would even relate with people like Jesus did. Because when Jesus knew what Satan was trying to do with people's lives, he prayed for them. Do you see? He prayed for them that their faith would not fail. Amen. He knew what it meant. He knew what it meant. He knew what the people were involved with. And he would rather pray for them that their faith would not fail. Instead of gossiping about them. Do you understand? Yeah. Instead of calling John and say, you have no idea what vision the Lord has given me today. The Lord has revealed to me in my spirit, number two, that... You know, that Peter, he's not genuine. That he's with us, but his heart is different. And he's going to deny me. But rather when Peter saw and it was revealed to him, or Jesus rather saw and it was revealed to him the frailty of Peter and what was coming in Peter's future, he prayed that his faith will not fail. And then believing in the answer to the prayer, believing that God has heard the prayer, he proceeded to make arrangements in Peter's future. Yeah, to just arrange, say, Peter, you know something, when all of this is over, you know, I want you to strengthen the brethren. Okay, I want you to be the one who will preach, to encourage them, to lead the all-night meetings. You know, I mean, when you talk like that to someone, the person cannot help but change. Yeah. Do you know why sometimes when you're dealing with little kids, you want him to do something positive or something good, you start to reach out to him, say, good boy, good boy. And then he actually does what you want him to do. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. He's holding something he's about to destroy. You know what he's going to do with it. But instead of focusing on what he's about to destroy, you talk to him about the good in him. Amen. And suddenly, he decides to, you know, identify with the good you're talking about. And then he drops the bad and lets you have it. Hallelujah. Amen. I see you being patient with people. Amen. I see God giving you supernatural ability to walk in grace and to mix grace with truth. Amen. Right? So he knew. How many have you got? Two? About Peter? Number one, that he was open to satanic and worldly influences. Right? Number two, that he slept at prayer meetings. Number three, he would let him down. Isn't it? Yeah. And number four, he knew the truth about Peter that he would even leave the ministry and backslide altogether. He was going to leave the ministry and backslide straight into secular work and just, after all the training Peter has received, after all the experiences with Christ, you know, and that could have been very unsettling for Jesus because your number one person on whom you are counting, the person that you're hoping to leave the church for, yes, is the guy who is backslidden and is going back to go and work somewhere else. But Jesus didn't change his plans. He didn't change the plans he had for Peter. Hallelujah. It says John chapter 21. John chapter 21 and verse 2. It says, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. And Simon saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go along with thee. Hey, and they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. Can you see that? Yeah, that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Do you get it? He knew where to find them. Jesus didn't go to their homes in the morning, but he went to meet them at the shore. Do you get it? But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. They were the ones who didn't know. But as for Jesus, he knew. You know, they knew. Then Jesus said unto them, "Children, have ye any meat?" You know, they answered him, "No." Then he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Can you see that? Next verse. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, "It is the Lord." He saw the situation, the amount of fish that they were suddenly catching after working all night without catching anything. That fellow, because of his closeness to the Lord, you see how he's called the disciple whom Jesus loved. He immediately recognized that this must be Jesus Christ. It is the Lord, right? Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he got his fisher's coat onto him, for he was naked. And he cast himself into the sea. He just disappeared. Yeah. And when you're a pastor, sometimes when you're following people up, you see how they dodge. See how they run away. You see your car driving by. Then they just hide in their own cars. You know, or you knock on their doors and they say, "I'm not here." Yeah. They'll send you a text message from inside and say, "Oh, Pastor, I'm not home." You know. So he cast himself into the sea. You know. And the next verse, 8. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. So they came, verse 9. As soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. You know, I mean, this must have been a very embarrassing situation for these disciples. But truth was being mixed with grace. Someone who knew that the people he was counting on had left the ministry to go fishing, went to look for them, and when he found them, before he went to find them, he went to the shore, got the coals and made fire, grilled some of the fish, and he added some bread. And when it was ready, he went to find these people. Not only did he help them to catch a lot of fish, but they got to the shore to find out their fish was not even necessary. So much grace that they didn't even need. If he had taken some of their fish to grill, they might have felt a little better, that at least what they did was not entirely useless. But Jesus showed them that, "I don't need your fish. I don't need anything from you." You know, and he brought them fish and gave them bread. Then verse 9 says, verse 10, and saith, Jesus said unto them, "Bring ye of the fish which ye have now caught." And then verse 11, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. Wow. For there was, for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Wow. Then the next one, verse 12, then Jesus said unto them, "Come and dine." And none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who art thou?" Knowing that it was the Lord. It was the Lord. But the way the whole thing, they felt that maybe the Lord, he'll be blasting us any moment. But the Lord was meeting them with dinner. Can you see that? The Lord was meeting them with what? Dinner. When they thought he was going to meet them with what? Blastings. Hallelujah.
Then verse 13 says, Jesus then cometh and taketh the bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. 14. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. Then 15, you know. And when they had dined, after they had eaten, I'm sure there was a lot of silence during this eating. But they ate anyway. So after then, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? So yes, there is a matter to discuss. Do you get it? Do you prefer me? Would you choose me over fish? Do you get it? But it's not the first thing we talk about. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, it's not the first discussion. Then Jesus saw them at the seashore. Come here. Come here. Yeah. I'm going to count three. If you don't arrive here, I'm going to call the storm. You remember the storm that I said, peace be still. I'm going to cause that storm to come for you. Yeah. Then they will come trembling. Yeah. Come, let's discuss something. But instead, Jesus just cooled it off, made them some nice food. You know, it's true that they have run away, and he's fully aware. That's why he didn't go find them in their houses. He found them at the beach. He knew exactly where they were. Hallelujah. But he gave them something to eat. And when they had finished eating, then he said, now, Simon, do you like fish more than fishes of men? This ministry that we were doing, you've left it and you have gone back this way. You know. And then Peter was saying, Lord, you know I love thee. You know, this was just something that happened. But I love thee. it was something small for the boys. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. Have you learned something tonight? Yes. Hallelujah. Okay. So I want to encourage you all tonight to change. That's right. Amen. Let's become like Jesus. Amen. Amen. Mix truth with grace. Amen. Mix what? Truth with grace. And you're going to find that you'll be more effective in your witness. You're going to find that more people will come to know the love of God through you. Hallelujah. More people will be affected by your messages when you mix truth with grace. Say amen. We'll continue next week, okay? So stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. Right. Now, everybody, just close your eyes and let's pray. I want you to pray and ask God, just tell the Lord, I want to be more like you. I want to be more and more like Jesus. I want to be more like you. I want to be more like you. Jesus, I wanna be more like you. Jesus, I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be more like you. I wanna be more like you.
vessel you went through. Father, we thank you for tonight and thank you for your word. Thank you for opening our eyes to see Jesus a little clearer. I pray tonight, Lord, that you will multiply your grace in us to help us cope with the truth we know about people. That during this month of evangelism, Lord, enlarge our hearts. Enlarge our hearts to be able to accommodate people, to be able to contain people, contain the sins of people, the mistakes, the errors of people in the name of Jesus. Make us like Jesus, more and more like Jesus, mixing truth with grace. We thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah. Clap your hands for Jesus, everybody. Amen.